Thank you for tuning in to the Mental Health Wealth Podcast. My name is Keith Ford, and I'm your host. As we always start every podcast, we always say that the information that is received here or that is given here is information for you and not to diagnose yourself with. It's for us to help to improve our mental health and for us to continue to thrive and do good in society. So we have been discussing our anger and how anger affects things. But it's not right to just talk about the anger and not talking about a way for us to fix these things and for us to improve our lives and for us to deal with anger. So we'll look at anger 101 part 3, anger management. Now, when we think about anger management, or when we think about the word management, being able to handle something correctly, you know, we can use our anger in a way to benefit us. As I stated on the first anger 101, that when it comes to anger, a little bit of anger can provoke us to do things. If we have been not satisfied with service we received somewhere, well, we may be prompt to go try something new or go try a different restaurant. If you continue to go and order food and they keep getting the order wrong, your anger may make you go and do something different. But now, when we think about anger on a large scale, if I'm one who has been using maladaptive behavior to deal with anger, drinking, drugging, doing things like that, any type of maladaptive behavior that is not productive to me as a person or as one who wants to do better in life, I need to make sure that I remove those things. And so when it comes to anger management, we're going to look at a few things today to help us to deal with our anger. And some of the things that I may say, you may say, well, how do those things work? And why should I even do that? Or that seems like something that a kid would do. Well, I'm reminded of what Jesus said. Jesus said, except you be like little children, you should not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, I think about the way that children are. Children are some very resilient people. Children go through a lot of things and they still are able to bounce back. You know, we should have that mindset. And when it comes to anger, that we be like children and we don't stay in those positions long of anger, but that we come out of those things. And so when we look at anger management, first off, I want you to notice a few things. Feelings of anger, again, completely normal. That is a normal emotion, like being happy, sad, any emotion you can think about. It's a normal emotion. It happens to us. But we have to make sure that we are in control of our anger and not let our anger be in control of us. We have to learn to avoid that anger that gets to that level that it causes problems. Anger management will teach us to avoid negative behavior and put us more in a position where we lean toward the positive things. And so when we look at our anger management, I want us to notice a few coping skills first. Now, we briefly discussed triggers last time, but one of the things I need to always keep at the forefront of my mind, what triggers me? What are my triggers as a person? Don't I like what, you know, what can easily put me to the side? What can easily get me riled up? You know, there are some people who, when it comes to speaking about politics, you know, they are so passionate about it that if you don't vote for who they want you to vote for, if you're not a part of their political party, it may get them to the point where they become so enraged that they can't even function. If you are that person, you may not need to discuss politics with people. You know, I say it as a joke. Most of the times, it's a reason why when you go vote, they put you in you're in a curtain because nobody can see who you voted for. You know, people only know who you voted for by who you communicate with or who you tell. And again, this is not a podcast about politics, but we could talk about any of those things. There are people now, we live in a world today where the thing is vaccinated or unvaccinated. If you're vaccinated, you're viewed as this. If you're unvaccinated, you're viewed as that. And sometimes that's a triggering conversation for people. I think that we need to be aware of all of our triggers. I say it like this. There are people who like certain things. If you say, well, I like ketchup, but if you get on Facebook and everybody says, well, you're ignorant for liking ketchup, you know, that may be a triggering experience for you. So again, learn to go where you are celebrated and not just tolerate it or being hated. Learn to be able to know your triggers. I often tell people who like mayonnaise, I do not like mayonnaise. I despise mayonnaise. I believe that you can go to heaven liking mayonnaise, but I believe you'll be in the back somewhere. But that's just my personal opinion. But if a person gives me a sandwich and I say I specifically don't want mayonnaise, and I get a sandwich and they say, well, it has mayonnaise on it, you could just eat it. You just wipe it off. You know what? That's a trigger for me. I won't eat the sandwich. But again, I don't let it stop me from being what I need to be. So the first thing that we need to do for anger management, we need to learn our triggers. Learn the things that make us mad, and don't put yourself around those things. If you know that as a person who is dealing with who has dealt with alcoholism, if you are a person who don't need to be around bars and things like that, don't put yourself in those situations, because the smell of the alcohol may trigger you. The environment may trigger you. So know yourself. Examine self first. That is the first goal to anger management. Knowing how to talk, knowing what to say. One of the things, again, my favorite website that I always tell you, therapistaid.com. I pulled off one of these things that I really like what it states. It says how to use triggers to your advantage. Now, I never thought about it this way until I read this. It says create a list of your triggers and review them daily. Reviewing your triggers will keep them fresh in your mind, increasing the likelihood you notice them before they become a problem. Now, reviewing your triggers, knowing exactly what's going to set you off. It said review them daily. Now, I know sometimes people say, well, you shouldn't get into a position where you avoid. Well, I believe that avoidance is actually, in this case, a good thing. Now, there is a time where avoidance can be bad when discussing feelings and things like that. But in this particular case, when it comes to triggers, I believe that avoiding those things is the right thing to do. It says oftentimes the best way to deal with a trigger is to avoid it. This might mean making changes to your lifestyle, relationships, or daily routines. So again, you may have to change the things you do, the places you go, the people you're with. If you are in a position where you are constantly triggered, you may have to change those things. It says because it isn't always possible to avoid triggers, have a plan when you must face them. For example, avoid touchy conversations when you are tired, hungry, or upset. Man, those words are so true. Avoid those type of conversations when you are not feeling yourself. Or even, I'll add in there, even when you're sick. Because a lot of times when we're sick, we don't process things the same. Because our bodies feel icky. We're not in the right headspace. And we may fly off the handle and say something that we shouldn't have said, or may not say it the way that needs to be said. You know, one of the other things that we can do to help manage our anger, we can keep an anger log. Now, a lot of times I do this for my children in foster care. We do an anger log, and we also do an anger thermometer. We have an anger thermometer that shows feelings, or I should say a feelings thermometer. It shows feelings, and it has the emojis, and it also has a number. And so sometimes children cannot process how they feel out of their mouths, but they can show us on those thermometers. And they may pull it up to a certain number and have a certain emoji. Well, I know that may sound a little childish, but sometimes adults can even use these also, because you may not want to use your words. You may have a hard time expressing yourself at the moment. And to be able to say, well, you know what? This is how I feel right here. This is what's going on with me. Well, you know, that's a big step in the right direction, admitting what's going on and that there's a problem and that you want to change things. And so keeping a log, if you don't want to do a thermometer, do a log. Write down, even if you put it inside your phone, we all have these smartphones nowadays. You can write it inside your notes or do anything, email it to yourself, but be able to keep a running log about how your mood was this day. What triggered you this day? What didn't trigger you this day? Or what happened with your emotions? It's a good thing to keep a log. Something else that I often advise for anger management is deep breathing and relaxation. You heard me mention episode or two ago about TFCBT, which is trauma-focused cognitive behavior therapy. One of the main things about that type of therapy is that you receive the psychoeducation, and then you also learn about relaxation techniques. A lot of times we find that hard to relax. Deep breathing, relaxation, those things can help to calm us. I know one of the things that I do now when I'm in a mood or if I've had a bad session or if I'm feeling overwhelmed, I take deep breaths because it helps me to regulate and calm myself down. And things like that can, like taking deep breaths, can help you get yourself to a point where you need to be. Just sit back. Try to do about four or five seconds. Take in a deep breath. And let go. A lot of times things like that, we don't think about those things in the moment, but I guarantee you they can help to regulate you and keep you focused and keep you from getting to that point where you're just so balled up. It'll help to relax yourself. I'm a huge proponent for those type of things. One of the things I love to do when it comes to doing TFCBT is the turtle. And I teach this to the kids. We'll do a shrug and then you let go. We call that the turtle, or we do the bear hug. And of course, when I say we do the bear hug, I'm not hugging them because that's not what we do in therapy. But we practice the bear hug when you hug yourself, you love yourself, you do the turtle and all these different type of things that can help you regulate yourself. So keep those in mind if there's something you want to try. And also, if there's anything that you need me to send you, the information that I have, I'm always willing to share. And so I'll be there to use to send any information that I can. You know, another way that we deal with our anger, we have to divert our anger. It's not just enough to say, I'm going to quit being angry. I have to put something in place of my anger. I have to be able to do other things. And there's a list that I have here, and I won't read everything, but I'll go over a few of the things and explain why I say that these are good for helping with anger management. Now, the goal of diverting creating diversion for your anger is to put something else in its place. Now, some people go for a walk or exercise. I believe that exercise is one of the best things you can do when you're angry, whether it be physical as far as lifting weights, or if it's running, or if it's walking, jogging, whatever the case may be. Something to get the blood flowing, because your blood is already going. Now you put that blood flow into good use. Now I'm out there lifting 300 pounds because I'm angry, and I'm able to get good reps in. And by the time you finish and you calm down, guess what? Now you're back to a normal breathing pattern. You're back to normal feelings. And now you are regulated again. What happens with our anger is that we become dysregulated and then we lose ourselves. So things like exercise can put us back to where we need to be. Also, reading a book or watching movies. I know there was a young lady who I was talking to once. And before I got there, because a parent called me and said, oh, well, she's just out of control. She's in a room. She's throwing things. She's doing this. And I thought it was going to be World War III when I made it to the session. But it turns out by the time I made it, the little girl was already in her room and she had some chocolate and she was watching her favorite show. And she said to me, and I said, well, this is not what I expected when I got here. And she said, well, I know, Mr. Key, I did what you said. I got me some chocolate and I got my favorite TV show and I'm okay now. And she was able to tell me exactly about what happened, why she was upset. Why did she throw a few things around a room? But by the time I made it, she had a room clean and she was fine because she was able to get herself back regulated. Even though she was so angry at first, she was able to get herself regulated by the TV show and eating chocolate. Now, who of us wouldn't be regulated after getting our favorite chocolate and watching our favorite TV show? I know it'll work miracles for me, but, you know, some people also like to listen to music. You know, me, I'm a big music guy. Even before my therapy sessions, if I'm angry about something, or if I'm overwhelmed, I like to listen to music as I go into my therapy sessions. And when I say I listen to music, I turn it up loud and I sing along with it. And I do the whole video while I'm driving. And so it helps to keep me calm and get me right when I get there. So boom, I'm ready for my therapy session. I'm ready to engage because now I'm regulated. Remember, you have to keep yourself regulated before you can help somebody else. You have to be calm because what if something goes disarray, you need to have yourself in tune and to be regulated so that you can help. Some people play with animals. I know there's a big push right now for horse therapy. And we've had some children who do horse therapy. They go and spend time with horses. They ride on horses. And there's a big market for that right now. That's to help people help children and people, adults deal with anger. And so you could do many things like that, write on a journal, do crafts, clean up, call a friend, take photos, all these different things that one can do in order to divert the anger into something positive. And you never know what's going to come out of that by doing it. And so you may find a new love for something. You may find a new craft or a new hobby you like to do because now you have taken the time out to do something that is productive. Again, instead of destructive. So just whatever you like to do that's positive. Remember, the goal when you're angry is to get away from maladaptive behavior and to go towards something that's more positive, or that's not just more positive, something that is positive. So that is the goal. You know, something else that we can do when it comes to anger is that we can take a time out, but then not only a time out, we can also do time in. But first, I want to deal with time out. And I thought this was this was something very effective that I wanted to share with you guys. And I want to quote it exactly and give, again, Therapist Aid the reference or citing my sources, I should say, where I seen this one because I thought it was very good. They made a comment that said, timeouts are a powerful tool for relationships where anger-fueled disagreements are caused, or when someone calls a timeout, both individuals agree to walk away from the problem and return once you have both had an opportunity to cool down. That's not rocket science, but that is a phenomenal statement. So often when there's problems and when both problems are angry and they try to talk, what happens? It's explosive. Nothing gets done. If I'm shouting, you're shouting, the problem is still there. We have not been able to correct the problem. But if we say, hey, I've noticed that your energy is high, my energy is high, we need to take a step back and then come back and talk about it. One of the things that we're trained in is called the ARC framework, where it is attachment, regulation, and competency. Now, when it comes to those three things, not only in children, but also in relationships with adults as well, if we are negligent in those areas, it gives us a problem when we won't be able to fix those anger issues. Because if we don't have that moment to say, hey, we need to back, we need to regulate ourselves first before we jump into trying to fix the problem. Because we can have all the good tools that we need, but a good tool inside of a storm is not a tool. It becomes a weapon that can hurt somebody. And so when it comes to timeouts, it's important that we separate for those moments and then come back when it's a better season if we need to. They also state with your partner, with your partner, plan exactly how timeouts will work. Everyone should understand the rationale behind timeouts, an opportunity to cool down, not to avoid a problem. Again, the problem is going to get tackled, but we need to make sure that we are both, or the whole group is in a good space in order to be able to tackle the problem. So cool down first and then talk it out. What will you both do during timeouts? Plan activities that are in different rooms or different places. The list of diversions that we talked about earlier can be very helpful in that situation. You may be arguing with your spouse. It may be very heated. Okay, you go out for a walk. She may clean. She may cook or reverse. She may go out for a walk or go work out. You start the grill. You do something. Anything can happen. Plan to return to the problem in 30 minutes to an hour. Important problems shouldn't be ignored forever, but nothing good will come from an explosive argument. I always remember that. Nothing good at all comes from an explosive argument. If we're both just talking loud, we're trying to overtalk each other, nobody is getting any words in, we'll constantly find ourselves in a situation where nothing gets solved. So those coping skills right there can help us to deal with our anger. Those things. Now, when it comes to time in, we have to have the mindset to say that we're going to work out the problem, that we're going to go forward and we're going to change the things that have hindered us in the past. I look at time in as this. We've had the time out away from each other, and now we come back to make sure that we can go ahead and start to talk and that we can put the pieces of the puzzle together. Because again, when we go time out, it's not a forever thing. Now that we have the time in, let's come together. Let's be rational. If we have to write things down, see me, I like to write things down because it makes me, I'm a visual learner, and it also makes me to be able to check mark things off and can see the goal getting completed more and that we're nearing the end. And so when it comes to time in, making sure that you and the person, if it's your spouse, your boyfriend, girlfriend, if it's coworkers, that you come together and that you're working toward the same goal. So time in puts you in a position where, hey, this is how we're going to fix it. Let's work toward this. If we can at all, be peaceable and do what needs to be done. So don't just look at the time out aspect of it for anger management. Also look at the time in, because you're going to have to come back to resolve things. And one last thing before we conclude our series on anger, one of the things that I want to leave with you briefly, and I wish that I could plaster it on walls and just leave it everywhere as a constant reminder when it comes to anger and when it comes to our anger management skills or how we can do things. There are 7 things that I want you to keep in mind when it comes to anger management, and something that we can possibly put in place. But we have to also, again, it starts with knowing those other things first, knowing the triggers, knowing myself, knowing what I need to do, knowing my do's and my don'ts, what I like and what I dislike. It starts with this, but these 7 things, if we utilize these all together, it can help us with our anger management. So the first thing is recognize your anger early. If you feel yourself get into a heated debate, now, again, there's nothing wrong with getting excited when you debate. Sometimes when you talk to people, your voice inflection goes up and down. Sometimes you get more excited. You're more passionate about something. So you're naturally going to be one who may raise your voice. But when it gets to that anger part and now I'm cursing and now I'm really, really mad and I can't think right, I need to recognize that, hey, this is getting to be a problem. I'm a little bit too involved in this, and I may need to pull myself back. So when it comes to anger management, I need to recognize these signs early. And again, if we're honest with ourselves, we can know when we've gone too far. Now, sometimes you may be in the moment, are we going to be perfect at this? No, it's something you have to train at. You have to be willing and be honest with self first to know that you're getting to those situations. We've already discussed the take a time out part. Remember, take a time out. 30 minutes to an hour. Now, for some people, it may take a little bit longer. Some people may need a few hours. If it's at night, some people may say, well, let's talk about it in the morning. Now, me, I'm the type that if there's a problem, I like to go ahead and talk about it. We can wait 30 minutes, an hour. Sometimes I'm ready in 10 minutes. But again, knowing the person or the people who you are having those moments with, if you're taking a time out from somebody, come together, but make sure it's appropriate. Deep breathing, which we've already talked about. Take your deep breaths. Take your time to meditate and to take in deep breaths before you speak. You'll notice you're a lot calmer if you can take those breaths. Sometimes you may have to do it for 10 minutes, 5 minutes. Sometimes you may have to do it for longer periods of time than just doing it for a minute or two. But take your deep breaths to help you manage your anger. Because again, nobody wants to, or nobody should want to, express themselves when they're just angry, because you don't get the best you then. Exercise, we've already talked about that. Exercise is a very good one. You know, whether it be just walking, it doesn't have to be going to the gym. Whether walking, walk around your neighborhood. Maybe walk in your yard and do something. Go do some gardening. Do something like that to help you out with your anger. Also, express your anger in a constructive way. Now, once you've calmed down, hey, this is why I was angry. This hurt my feelings. This is what I was feeling at the time. Be honest with the people who you're talking to. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to be transparent with people for some reason, because one thing, we may feel like in the future they may use this against you. And now, so you don't want to put yourself out there. And so now you're even angry thinking about that from that position. Don't get caught up in that. Be able to express yourself, be able to be you, and let it out without fear of it's going to be used against you in the future. So expressing your anger, calm down, talk it out in a productive manner. Think of the consequences also. Think of the consequences of anger. Is it really worth me losing my friend? Is it really worth me losing my job, my spouse, my livelihood, myself? Is it really worth losing all these things? Do I really want to be angry that much? Is it going to be worth me being angry? And then I also have to use visualizations. Now, what do you mean by that? Just visualize. Some people have to put it in their minds where they are to just kind of calm down. Imagine yourself on a beach. Imagine yourself doing something calm. Imagine yourself by the water. Imagine yourself out on the boat fishing. Whatever the case it may be, your visualization skills are very important in just helping your mind to be somewhere even when you're angry. So again, I hope that this was helpful, and I hope that we all can take heed to these things, because these things are very important. We have to know that anger can be used in a good way, but it can also be destructive. I thank you guys for tuning in, and we look forward to having more conversations around our mental health real soon.